This is Cap and J Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
That's why I see marination.
Shot. No shot. With Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see.
Shot, no shot, brought to you by the great people at PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. PointsBet Sportsbook's now open. Teddy Greenstein is cooking up some amazing promos on the PointsBet site. And Paige Sporanic, their big face of the PointsBet Sportsbook, will be in town this weekend for PointsBet. Stop by Hawthorne Racecourse, and you can register your account as well. Danny?
Good morning, gentlemen.
What's up, Danny?
What up, Hoodie? Happy White Sox Tuesday.
Thank you very much. Can't wait for the Sox to get out there, get this thing tied at two, and take it back to Houston. Cannot wait. I'm on pins and needles. I wish the game would start right now. Ah, it's a little rainy. Wait until 1 o'clock.
Let's finish our show first.
Usually, Danny says to you, how you doing? And you go, chilling. Like I was waiting for that.
No chilling today, man. I'm looking forward to White Sox baseball. Right here on the ESPN 1000 Hard Rock Casino Radio Network.
No, White Sox Network.
It's already implied. It's the White Sox Network. It's already implied.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Danny.
And Sox fans, if you're excited for this game also, you can join Carmen. He's got a Miller Lite watch party at Cork and Carry at the park today. It's at 1 o'clock. Go out, have a drink with Carmen, enjoy yourself. Cork and Carry at the park.
Cork and Carry at the park.
Cork and Carry. It's a cool spot.
Thanks to our friends at Miller Lite.
You know it's cool because the one in Beverly is off the chain. And so right there at the park, spend time with Carm. Awesome. All right, Danny, what do you have?
All right, gentlemen, let's begin with the biggest news of the day in the world of sports. John Gruden, he resigned as Raiders coach in the wake of racist, misogynistic, anti-gay emails. As we know, the Bears beat those same Raiders on Sunday, 20-9 in Vegas. Clearly, that Raiders organization was dealing with more than just football this weekend. So I ask you simply, shot or no shot, the Bears' victory is now diminished, knowing what we know and the fact that the players were clearly distracted.
No shot. No shot. They know what's going on, but again, you can't go at half speed in football. You have to be all in. You practice all week. You have to prepare yourself, prepare your body for a series of car crashes, especially when you're on the line.
Yes.
So no, I'm not going to turn a blind eye to what happened with Gruden, but I think the players, even though it's in the back of their minds, possibly that their coach could be in trouble, they still had to play the game. They just aren't. Let's just be honest. The Raiders are just not a good football team. If we're going to keep it on the, let's keep it on the gridiron. The Raiders aren't very good under Gruden. They're just not. That's not a good football team.
He's not a good coach.
No.
He's a brilliant offensive mind.
Maybe.
But not a good person, not a good leader of men. And his resume tells you he won with Tony Dungy's guys walking into Tampa. They fired him. And then he was out for a long time. And how did this end? Not well, and he wasn't very good. So, there you go. I'm going to be right there with you.
No shot.
No shot.
Danny.
All right, gentlemen, moving on to our Chicago White Sox. As we talked about yesterday, Sox pitcher Ryan Tepera suggested that the Astros are still cheating. Dusty Baker did not appreciate that accusation. I asked you guys, shot or no shot, the White Sox and the Astros have officially become a rivalry.
That's a shot. When Ryan Tepera says what he said, I'm not saying he's wrong. Yes, it's a rivalry, but it's dulled by the fact that every stadium the Astros go into, inflatable trash cans, cheater signs, all of it. So, and I'm in on all of it because Dallas Keuchel, who I know is a White Sox player now, or Carlos Correa, who may be the next Cubs shorts, I don't have any. Those guys could scream till they're blue in the face. Hey, we won that thing. No, you didn't. That ring on your finger is fraudulent. Period.
Yeah, I will say shot because of nothing else. La Russa and Baker don't like each other very much. They've had their battles before, going back and forth. They're both competitive. I get that. Maybe they've gone to dinner even in Chicago while they've been there. Who knows? But I don't. When it comes to getting on the baseball diamond and managing against one another, yeah, I mean, they're very competitive. So I could say that's a rivalry just based on the managers. So shot to that, Danny.
All right, gentlemen, sticking with your White Sox, actor John Cusack was confronted by Barstool Sports White Sox Dave on Sunday outside Guaranteed Rate Field. White Sox Dave addressed Cusack about flipping allegiances from the Cubs to the White Sox because obviously the Sox are playing better right now. Cusack quickly put Dave in his place. Have a listen.
I know you did, but
you can't tell me where. I can like whoever I want. Who was the first baseman in 1983?
Was it Ron Kittle?
No. Mike Squires.
Mike Squires.
That means you're off.
But I'm younger than that.
That proves your ignorance.
That's not ignorance.
Yeah, you know who Lamar Odom was?
Lamar Odom? Yeah, of course I know.
You know who Oscar Gamble was?
Yes.
I know all
those guys too.
I think proves your ignorance.
But I mean, you can't. It's all about.
I made a movie about that.
Half the fun about being a fan is being miserable. You can't just go to the Cubs side when
I went to the ballpark growing up.
But that doesn't count. You can't do that. That's like against the rules. That's the best part of having in Chicago is that you got two teams to root for.
We'll have to agree to disagree.
Agree to disagree, I guess, but I think it's
you have to live.
Stinks. Cusack, he's banned. He's number one on my ban list. John Cusack is banned.
All right, gentlemen, if you couldn't understand what was going on there, sound wasn't very great. Cusack basically said he grew up going to both parts. Don't tell me how to fan. I made a movie called Eight Men Out about the Chicago White Sox. Basically, White Sox, Dave, get out of my face. So I asked you guys, shot or no shot, if you are from Chicago, it is okay to root for a Chicago team if that team is making a postseason run.
We know where you stand, Kathy.
Full disclosure, I grew up, my brother hated the Cubs and was a diehard Sox fan. I hated the White Sox, I was a diehard Cub fan. And as I've gotten older, and I have my brother, I have dear friends that work for the White Sox, like, I don't have that. I can't be that guy, the hatred. Oh, my God, I'm rooting for the Astros. And if you beat them, I'm rooting for the Red Sox. And if you beat them, I'm rooting for the No. Again, if the White Sox win the World Series, God bless them. I work at two stations the White Sox games are broadcast on. My partner, who I love dearly, he's a diehard White Sox fan. Why would I cheer against him? Now, is my heart in it like his is? No, it's not. But I'm absolutely rooting for him. The jersey says Chicago. But if you play the Cubs, I hope you lose 200-0. Am I clear?
Yeah, it is true. You've said that. You've been consistent in that regard. Of course, your dad also told you it says Chicago in the front. You didn't listen to him.
I did.
You had to grow up into it. And you know what? Dad was right.
He was.
He told you that as you and Bruce dad at an early age.
It's such a nonsensical thing. I hate the other. No, stop.
Me personally, I don't hate the Cubs unless they, and I don't hate the Cubs when they take on the White Sox. I root against any opponent against the White Sox.
Right.
Any of them. Cubs, you know, Milwaukee, any team in America. I'm against any team that takes on my team. My point is, though, is that I've never hated the Cubs. And the reason why is because I'm a grown up with a mortgage. I'm not trying to hate anyone, right? Hey, listen. The Twins are the team that I can't stand.
Right.
That's my least favorite team. I can't stand them. So you can root for whomever you like to root for. You can get on any bandwagon. It's your ticket, and it's your fandom. Who am I to tell you who to fan and who to root for? Look, I'm a White Sox fan, and I root against any team against my team. That's the bottom line. But the Cubs, I don't hate the Cubs. Why would I? I watched both as a kid.
Right.
So, and by the way, sidebar, may I approach?
Yes, brought to you by Enken Law. Our guy Howard Enken. You got a legal issue, that's your guy.
It's official now, Danny. We can say it now.
I have no paperwork yet.
Okay, yeah, still no paperwork.
Mike's gone. Nobody's sending paperwork.
Who? Mike Thomas. Don't do that.
I love
the difference maker.
Missed that.
1983. Didn't Pachorik have more starts at first than Mike Squires? You heard Cusack there, didn't you?
Did he have more starts at first?
Didn't he? I'm looking at Baseball Reference now.
You could understand what Cusack was saying there?
Yeah. He was saying that he's asking, like, do you know the starting first baseman in 83 American League Western Division champion?
Right. He said Mike Squires and Lamar. Did he say Lamar Johnson?
He mentioned Lamar Johnson at, like, a different question, but he mentioned, like, Squires.
Right.
Was it Pachorik at the first base majority of the time in 83? Take a look there. Maybe I'm reading this wrong. I know that Pachoric had more at bats. I remember Squires. He could play first, third, and also a left. Let's see, left-handed throwing catcher. Do you recall this?
Yes, I do remember him as a left-handed thrower. Spanky, wasn't that his nickname? Spanky Squires. Yeah, Spanky, I do remember
and
that.
Spanky Lavalle.
Yes.
I just I heard him say that. I thought Pachoric had the majority of the time at first. But
Tom,
I could be wrong.
Pachoric is listed as an infielder and outfielder.
Play a little outfield, a little right field, maybe?
Yeah, I'll have to get you the starts. So I'll look that up while you're on to the next question.
All right, Danny.
All right, gentlemen. The Kansas City Chiefs are under 500 in what certainly qualifies as the biggest surprise of the young 2021 season. The defense is terrible both in the pass and run game. The Chiefs spent a small fortune in cash and draft picks to revamp their offensive line. Yes, yet they can't run the ball worth a lick. Patrick Mahomes has thrown 6 picks in 5 games after he threw 6 picks all of last season. So I simply ask you, shot or no shot, the Chiefs are just a bad team.
Oh, God. No, they're not a bad team.
They're highly overrated. Highly overrated. And that's what happens when you give $500 million to your quarterback. You got to win when they're on their rookie deal. They did just that. But all of a sudden, Mitchell Schwartz is on social media because they can't afford to replace him with an elite tackle and his back is bad. And all of a sudden, Eric Fisher's injured and you got to go sign another guy who's not quite as good. Yeah, that's the problem. They're a good team. They are not an elite team with that defense.
My problem with Patrick Mahomes is that he's loose with the Duke. That's the problem. The Wilson, the Duke, the you know that, Tyler, right? The Duke, the official NFL game football. Yeah. He's loose with the Duke. That's my problem.
He's trying to make plays that aren't there.
You can't do that, man.
Agreed.
You gotta, look, you're going to lose games, but you can't turn the football over. Now, Justin's going through this himself, right?
Correct.
But, like, an experienced hand, an experienced quarterback like Patrick Mahomes can't let the ball loose. Like, that's my issue with it. They will straighten it out. Will they be as good as they were last year? Probably not.
Their defense isn't good enough.
Yeah. I mean, they give up a ton. It's looking at you, Spagnola. You got to straighten that out, pal. So, I think that their defense isn't very good, and they turn the ball over too much for my taste. So, they're not a bad football team, but they are underachieving. That's what I would say, Danny.
By the way, Tom Pachoric played in 115 games.
Yeah.
He had 456 plate appearances. He was primarily a first baseman. Mike Squires played in 143 games, but only had 180 plate appearances. He was more of a defensive substitution at first.
That's what I thought I remember. Now, again, I was only 11 at the time, so...
Get glad we cleared that up.
Well, you played the sound!
I played the sound so you could hear White Sox Dave telling him he can't fan for both teams.
That's the topic!
The topic isn't Pachoric!
Don't worry about it!
Now we're late for nothing!
I'm just trying to figure out what's going on with this Squires of Pachoric!
I'm out of here!
I'm tired of this! Hang up!
Go ahead, Cap.
Welcome to my life.
Right. What is this guy?
I'm just the calm one in here. What if Justin Fields becomes Lamar Jackson? That, and we go around the National Football League next.
Take that.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Cap J Hood, ESPN 1000. Hope you're on a good cup of coffee or tea or whatever it is you're drinking. What do you got over there?
Miller Lite. Tastes great. Less filling.
It is.
Tastes great.
Hey, my buddy George, who's a dear friend of mine, one of my closest friends.
Owner George?
Not Owner George.
Oh.
He is also a diehard White Sox fan. Mm-hmm. Diehard. He said, please tell Hoodie, the first baseman in 83, the main one was Greg Walker.
Are we still doing this?
Yes.
It's enough. Nobody cares.
And he said he did not mention Lamar Johnson because the audio was bad. We'll put that on Danny. He was talking about Lamar Hoyt.
who won the Cy Young that year. And they got traded for Ozzie Guillen before he became a drug dealer.
Greg Walker.
Not Ozzie. Lamar Hoyt.
Greg Walker was not the... In 83?
What he said!
You saw the stats. You know that's not right.
I'd have to go back through
it. You see it right in front of you. You know that's not right.
I'm just telling you what he said.
It's either Petrarch or Squires. So you're saying that John Cusack could be wrong? Apparently.
Apparently.
No, I see the Petrarch or Squires. There's no question about that. You were saying about the NFL.
Yes. So what if Justin Fields becomes Lamar Jackson?
And you keep your beak out of it, Zetterman.
I'm done.
All right, well, just keep your beak out of it.
I'm done. Who was playing first base for the Cubs in 1983? Dusty Pachorek?
No, like he was Buckner and then like Durham in 84, right?
Buckner was the starter in 83 and 84 when they brought Durham up and they eased him in.
Yeah, Leon.
Once you could tell he could play, exactly, they traded Billy Buck to Boston.
Yeah, Leon Durham. How about that?
Super. Great.
How about that?
I feel much smarter now.
You keep your beak out of it.
Don't make me come in there.
Okay.
I'm this close to getting up from my chair.
Okay. You were saying
you ain't that guy anymore. You're the skinny, wiry guy now. You're not the steroid-induced muscle man.
Steroid? Wow.
I never took steroids.
But we all could use a little muscle, a little health hormone.
Human growth hormone.
Health hormone.
HGH. Yes. Sorry. Give me some of that.
First day with my new tongue. Sorry. HGH.
Show's off the rails.
Human growth hormone.
There you go.
Sorry.
Anyway.
You were saying about the NFL.
What if Justin Fields becomes Lamar Jackson? Are we good with that?
Well, let's discuss this. So the reason why we bring this up is because we were discussing this in the IDOT bullpen, and they want to remind. Go ahead, do the read for us.
So what if Justin Fields becomes Lamar?
What about the read?
They got to pay for that.
Okay. Here's the question. The reason why it comes up is because we saw Lamar Jackson play on Monday Night Football yesterday, and we saw a guy, again, a dynamic quarterback that has a very unique skill set, can run with the football, has a powerful arm. It's like sometimes it's like watching him play basketball in cleats, the jump pass as he throws it, 20, 30 yards. So he's got all the intangibles, right? And so the question is, if the ceiling is Justin Fields, if Justin Fields becomes Lamar Jackson, how do you see that? But that wouldn't be such a bad career, right?
No, it would be a great career. I mean, you'd win an MVP.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're winning a Super Bowl or not. They were breaking down last night. He made a throw, and Lewis Riddick was breaking down the throw. He had not Hollywood Brown. Who's the other really good receiver that they have?
But your point is what?
He had him wide open in the end zone,
mm-hmm.
cutting toward the pylon, and he just made an awful throw. And Lewis said, that's the throw he has to show he could consistently make to take the next step. But when the game was on the line, John Harbaugh said to him, let's go win this with a
bleep. Yeah.
Yeah. And he said, let's do it. Bam! Takes you right down the field. His ability to cut and shift and throw on the move, and then the throw for Mark Andrews for the touchdown.
Yes.
Then the throw for the two-point conversion down where only he could catch it. That was a hell of a win, man.
The only reason why we bring it up is because Cap and I saw Indianapolis against Baltimore last night. I'm just talking about how dynamic the quarterback Lamar Jackson is. He finished with 14 carries, 62 yards, and 442 yards for his receivers. I mean, so he's got that balance you're looking for, Cap. At first, it was like, oh, he's just a run-first quarterback. He's Randall or he's Steve Young. Or
Dante Culpepper.
Or he's Bobby Douglas, whatever, right? But he can do both. And so for Justin Fields, I want him to be on the run, but also I want him to establish the receivers. We've been talking about this every week now. I want the tight end established. I believe that Kmet can be a very good receiver for the Bears as a tight end. I think he can catch the football. Same thing with Robinson and Mooney. But that's got to be worked out. I want that to be worked out because I want that for Justin.
Yeah, my one concern is if he becomes Lamar Jackson. Like, is Lamar 3 years from now going to physically be able to do with all the hits he takes? He took some shots last night because he's running like a running back. Does he break down quick? And you go, wow, that was a great five-year run, but now his body doesn't look the same.
Yeah.
I want to know that Justin can
not put his body on the line to that degree.
Well, the hope is that Lamar Jackson does not have Cam Newton's career.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Cam was that, he was like Roethlisberger 2.0, big guy that could take a beating, right? Tight end size that could take a beating as a quarterback. And then he became a vegan. Then he became smaller. Then he got more vulnerable to injuries, and he was never the same. Now he's out of football.
Correct.
So I understand your point. Hopefully that, you know, Lamar Jackson, and he's going to run with the football. That's just part of the offense, right? I mean, Harbaugh's giving him the green light.
Correct.
The hope is that he could be able to make do with the years he has ahead of him before he starts breaking down. Because like, you know, people will keying in on him.
Correct.
Yeah.
I look at Mahomes. He can use his legs when he has to, but he stands back and picks you apart. Aaron Rodgers is more just chained to the pocket. He'll move a little bit. Tom Brady, they could slide. They could step up, climb the pocket. They're not going to beat you with their legs. Justin will have the ability to do that more Mahomes-like.
So let me ask you this. So, Tyler, let me ask you this. What is the ceiling for Justin Fields? I agree with Kaff that, hey, you got to be able to be good at with both. And as a college football fan, as I know you are, you saw him at Ohio State, and the guy does have a strong arm and can run. So what is his ceiling as far as his style?
Well, I look at Fields as more of a thrower, and like he can run, but he's not going to have the same quickness that Lamar has. I mean, that's part of what makes Lamar as good as he is. He can flip the field from hash to hash, and that's something that you don't see a lot of quarterbacks with the ability to do. Justin, I think he's more of a straight line runner as opposed to the elusive guy that can sort of cut on a dime and make you miss that way.
So his ceiling is Russell Wilson?
I would say he's more of a Russell Wilson than a Lamar, yeah.
That makes sense, right? The guy that we were supposed to get via trade.
Who's now maybe done for the year.
Yes.
He had surgery, and there was this report yesterday there might have been a complication with the finger injury. Mm. Like, that's a problem.
Mm.
Big problem. Because who's their backup?
It's
Geno Smith.
Geno Smith, yeah.
They're not winning the Super Bowl with Geno Smith.
They're not?
No. No shot.
Never be a dream killer, man. Geno Smith, you saw him. He turned it around, man. He had people believing in Seattle. You saw that game Thursday night. He turned it around, pal.
They're not winning the Super Bowl with Geno Smith.
Okay.
No shot.
I guess you're right.
Now, if he could keep them afloat till Russell can come back.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know if they can pull that off. 312-332-3776. We're going to talk to Albert Breer from Monday Morning Quarterback and SportsIllustrated.com. And by the way, a high-level executive with the White Sox just texted in. Greg Walker was the main first baseman. Oh, here, Danny.
I thought Mellor was off today.
You're Danny in there.
Oh, my God, enough!
Greg Walker. Yeah, so Greg Walker had 118 games played, 340.
All right, well, up next we're going to go around the NFL with our guy Albert Breer.
Hold on,
I have some thoughts on Scotty Fletcher, too. What if it was the Cubs, boy? You'd be there all there for.
Well, I mean, of all that John Cusack audio we played, which you couldn't understand any of it, that's what we're sticking on?
I heard all of it. I understood it.
He wants to break down Manny Trio at second base, if it was the Cubs.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we're going to talk to Albert Breer.
What else did Brooks Boyer say?
It was not Brooks.
Okay.
And it was not George.
Gene Honda?
It was higher than that.
Was it Gene Honda?
It was not Gene Honda.
Wait a second. It was Greg Walker.
Take that. All right. Around the NFL with our guy, Albert Breer, and there's a lot to chop up. Tell Danny, warn him now. He's getting held over. We'll be right back.
Greg Walker.
5G is here, but the big carriers want you to sign a pricey long-term contract to get in on the action. Well, not anymore, because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide with plans starting at just $35 a month with no contract. They get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299, all on America's best networks. 5G coverage, 5G phones, less money. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap and Jay Hood.
Bert's it.
What?
You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
Well, see, that's the game. I just tag you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's home for sports.
What Bert is it?
Our guy, the great Bert Breer, brought to you by Curcio Law Offices. And shout out to RJ, who was here cutting commercials last week wearing his Walter Payton Roots of Fight sweatshirt.
Had a little coffee spilled on it, but it's a sweet sweatshirt. He's a diehard Bear fan, so thank you for your support, buddy.
And that leads us to our guy, Albert Breer. Albert, there's really nothing going on, so I don't feel like we need to do the segment today.
Boy.
I wanted to ask you guys how you felt about John Cusack, but maybe we have to hold on to that one. Huh?
Yeah, we'll chop that up next week.
We'll have some time. We'll have a corner of the show to talk to you about that. But we want to ask you about the breaking news from last night regarding John Gruden, just your initial reaction to all of it with the Raiders.
Yeah, I think that there's, you know, it's hard because I think you have to kind of like break it up into different pieces. I think first, there's no question that, after what happened, after what came out Friday, it was going to be difficult, to baseline for John Gruden to go back in that locker room and be able to command, the 53 guys. I think it wasn't just specifically what he said. It was sort of the tone of the emails, the anger, and the fact that he would put it in an email. Period. I think it was always going to be tough for him to come back from that. But then when he goes out and he tries to justify it and act as if like it was one thing and it's a misunderstanding in language and he would never, say something that way or, be that way. And then, 2 days later, here's, a dozen other examples of you conducting yourself that way. That was it. Whether it happened, an hour after, a day after, later in the week, he was done. And so I think that is what it is. And I think that's pretty simple and straightforward. What's interesting to me about this, too, guys, is that, you look at it and this, these revelations on Gruden, I'll ask you guys, how much does this actually have to do with what the investigation was?
Well, we were talking earlier about this, and I said, how much of this is just because there's so much attention to it, and how much of this is because it's wrong? Remember, Cap, we were talking about this? Like, so right. from Davis's standpoint, like, yes, it's a distraction, but by the way, it's also wrong. So I'm weighing that in my mind, Albert, trying to figure out, like, are you trying to kill the firestorm or are you saying, hey, it's wrong? Because I didn't see a lengthy, press release from Davis about this.
Yeah, and that to me is the complexity of this is that these emails were part of an investigation into the Washington football team and into the workplace culture in the Washington football team, which is a football team, by the way, that John Gruden was not and has not ever worked for. Right. And so, you can say maybe some of these emails point to the culture there and, the emails with the cheerleaders and that sort of thing. Like, some of it did point to the problems in Washington, but, it sure does feel like, these emails were sort of cherry picked out of the 650,000. And I think it's fair to ask now, where's the rest of the investigation? Like, where's the stuff on Daniel Snyder? And what was Daniel Snyder fined $10 million for? And why can't we see that, but we can see this? It feels to me like almost like a sloppy attempt to point everybody in another direction. And not look at what the investigation was meant to do. And again, like 100%, John Gruden should be out as the Raiders coach. He is out as the Raiders coach. And I don't think, like, you know, I don't think these things are mutually exclusive. It can be wrong what John Gruden said, and it can be a fireable offense what John Gruden said, and it's still fair to ask a whole bunch of other questions about, like, why in the world do we not have, if it was, if this stuff came out in such a flurry, period, how is it that so much else into what this investigation actually was has remained private? And I sure hope that people out there are going to use this to put pressure on the league to be more transparent about what happened with the Washington football team, because that was initially what this was all about.
So as this whole thing breaks down and we get the one apology on Sunday, I don't want to talk about it anymore. Who are you to say what the media, when they should keep asking the question or not? Mm-hmm. Then all this other stuff comes out. So Mark Davis has a meeting with Gruden. Gruden resigns. Do you think he got any money left on that contract? I was reading Andrew Brandt, who's a great follow on Twitter, former NFL executive. He said, yeah, we're going to let you go, John. You know, I have a lot of other emails that maybe you're copied on or that you're involved in. Oh, we'll give you $10 million to go away. Okay, deal. Do you think he got paid?
I mean, I don't know. You know, and that stuff, that actually is stuff that I think for obvious reasons, these teams and, you know, the people involved with these teams are often successful in keeping quiet, you know, for obvious reasons, because there's something to gain, you know, by both parties in keeping these things quiet. So, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't know whether or not there was some sort of settlement. But I think based on the amount of money that was left on his contract, and look, guys, like, I know everybody's throwing that number around, like 10 years, 100 million. I've actually heard that some of it, like, on the back end may not have been fully guaranteed. So I think there's some nuance to the contract, too. But, you know, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that, you know, they're working for the Raiders. You know, based on the amount of communication there's been between Gruden and the Raiders over the you know, I'd say 10 years before he wound up taking the job there, it's not in some way maybe they, you know, Mark Davis or someone else within the Raiders was looped in into some of this. And you know, like the Raiders would want to do something to ensure that they can walk away from this clean, just firing John Gruden and moving on and hitting reset on their football operation.
So I'm going to ask you an impossible question, but I just want you to, yeah, to just surmise this. So was Gruden going to survive, even just based on D. Morris Smith's, you know, the comments that was made about him? Like, if nothing, yeah, else came out, would he survive after those comments came out, the initial ones?
I mean, Hoodie, you'd like to say no, because, like, I mean, I don't know. I have a hard time, and I said this, you know, a couple different places over the weekend. I have a hard time seeing how, if you're a player, you couldn't look at that email and say, man, if he felt comfortable enough to put that in an email. You know, it's not a text. It's not a phone conversation. It's not a casual conversation on the sideline before a game. If he was felt comfortable enough to put that in an email, like, what else is he saying? I mean, it's hard for me to think, like, if you're a player, you could just accept at face value that this was an isolated incident or this was a mistake in language, right? And so, you want to say that it would have been really, really difficult for him to do just that. The initial email. But, I mean, the league, the team, they allowed him to coach on Sunday, you know? And so, I mean, that part of it, and the league had these emails. So, I mean, the fact that they allowed him to coach on Sunday tells me that there were at least some people that thought there was going to be a path out of this for John Gruden, which is crazy to think, you know, again, because if you're the league and you have the and you have the rest of these emails, like, how you were thinking that it was okay to roll them out there on Sunday and, you know, go through a charade for a few days before more came out. Like, I don't know how you thought that was a good idea to begin with. But, you know, I think clearly there were people involved here who thought that there was going to be a path out for John Gruden. And obviously, you know, within 24 hours of that game ending in Vegas, the Bears Raiders game ending in Vegas, that clearly wasn't the case.
Albert, hang on. We'll come right back to Albert Breer, our guy, Monday Morning Quarterback. You got to subscribe. It's a free newsletter. That's awesome. You got to read it. Monday Morning Quarterback at SI.com. We'll come right back with more with Albert next. Did you know the arrow in Amazon's logo represents A to Z? Maybe the My Computer Career logo should represent unemployed to employed. Ryan was out of work when he started classes in March. In September, he started his IT career working for Amazon, making more money than he ever thought possible. Here's a prime opportunity. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and Jay Hood, our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
Around the NFL with our guy, the great Burt Breer. We get right back to him. I want to get into some of the Bears stuff. We've been discussing John Gruden because it's obviously the news of the day.
Yes, but it is meat and cheese week. It is Bears and Packers.
That's correct.
Let's go.
So, Albert, I truly believe the Bears can win this football game. Like, there were many times Green Bay's rolling in. I'm like, yeah, unless Aaron has a case of the runs and can't go, we got no shot. I really believe with Matt handing the play card off and now they have an identity of mean, nasty, tough, and they run the football, they can win this game. Do you agree?
Well, that's some graphic imagery there, Cap. I hope no one gets a case of those. I think this is the formula when you're starting a rookie quarterback, and that and I think quite honestly, like over the last 3 weeks, this is how the Bears came to the decision that that it was the time to go with Justin Fields, and that the right formula for this particular group of players is to load up behind the running game, which is going to protect some of their weaknesses on the offensive line, and which is going to shorten games, which plays into the strength of the team, which remains the defense. Whether Dalton or quarterback, like I think the right formula for the team they found is this. And that, like, of course, is what's best for a rookie quarterback if you're going to play a rookie. So then I think the decision becomes, all right, like, well, we've got the right, kind of setup for a rookie quarterback to go in where we're not going to ask him to throw the ball 45 times or win the game for us. And the great thing about it in a situation like this is, you're playing against a team like the Packers, and that's what you're going to need to do to beat the Packers, is you're going to need to limit the amount of times Aaron Rodgers has the ball in his hands, try and go on, long extended drives, where maybe you're asking Justin Fields to convert a third down or two, but for the most part, you're leaning on your running game, and then you hope that you can sort of highlight the difference between their offensive line, which is really beat up right now, had been without Myers, without Bakhtiari, without Jenkins. Take advantage of them there and get the game to the fourth quarter. I think if you look at like the formula they've come up with, and we can argue whether or not they should have had this in place in week one. It took them until week four to get there. I think there's no question that you look at like the way that they're playing right now, and it's the way that you keep it close against a team as built like the Packers are.
What are you hearing in the NFC North with the Vikings and Lions? That was a game that took place this past Sunday where the Vikings win 19-17. We have a weepy head coach and with the Lions, and we've got a coach that survived in Zimmer. What are you hearing from either Detroit or Minnesota based on how their seasons are going?
And survived almost a violent confrontation with his quarterback, it looked like there, right?
Oh, yes. They don't like each other, right?
Yeah. Hoodie, I think the Vikings are a team that I'm sort of just watching right now as far as what it's going to look like coming out of this year. And, you know, the fact that they missed the playoffs last year, if they miss it this year, is two in a row. And you're starting to look at a core of players that's aging in certain spots, you know, and Adam Thielen's getting a little older. Dalvin Cook's older for a running back. Kirk Cousins, can you, do you go forward with him deep into his 30s? It's just Harrison Smith, Anthony Barr are getting older. And so, you know, I think there are some, you know, organizational decisions that are going to need to be made at the end of the year. And losing a game like that on Sunday would have been, I mean, not great for the future of Mike Zimmer and potentially Rick Spielman there in Minnesota. So important win for them to get. And if I'm the Lions, guys, I mean, give me that. Like, if I'm a Lions fan, give me that every week. You know what I mean? Like, give me that every week. Give me a team that's fighting its ass off, that's playing hard, that looks like it has an identity, that's, you know, engaged with its coach, a coach that's engaged with the players, and you lose a close game. So you get your draft pick's not affected for next year. Because, I mean, clearly we know where the Lions are. No one went into the year thinking they were going to be a contender, and they aren't a contender. You know, but if you're the Lions, like, and I hate to say it this way because, you know, no coach or player would ever say it this way, but I think, like, for the long-term health of the franchise, like, the results they've been getting on a week-to-week basis are perfect. It's good competitive football and identity for the team, and you're doing it without screwing up what's going to be a really valuable draft pick in April.
Have a wonderful rest of your day, man.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
Appreciate you. Thanks. There he is, Albert Breer, every Tuesday morning at 8:35 here on the Cap and Jay Hood Show. All right, do the White Sox have the right guy taking the mound today in Game 4 of the ALDS against the Astros? That's in 2 minutes, and follow us on Twitch. Watch us live. Join the chat, sponsored by Xfinity. Be right back.